Last night she came to me, she came softly in. So softly she came that her feet made no din, and laid her hand on me, and this she did say, it will not be long, love, till our wedding day.
What the bloody hell are you at, O'Donnell? Snap out of it, man. Get up, keep active. The devil makes work for idle hands. It's now 16 or 17 years since I saw the Queen of France, then the Dauphiness at Versailles. Tell me this and tell me no more. Why's a hen cross the road?
Why?
To get to the other side. Ha ha! Why's a hen lay an egg?
Why?
Because it can't lay a brick. And why does a sailor wear a round hat?
Why?
To cover his head. 0 out of 3. Very bad for a man of average intelligence. That's the style. Keep working. Keep the mind active and well stretched by knowing the best that is taught and written in the world. And you wouldn't call Daddy Senator your father-in-law. Give the woman in the bed more porter. Give the man beside her water. Give the woman in the bed more porter. More porter for the woman in the bed. Do you know what I think? I mean, just looking at you there.
What?
You make a hell of a fine president of the United States.
Ah.
But you would.
You'd need to be born an American citizen.
True for you. What about chairman of General Motors?
No.
Boss of the Teamsters Union?
Ah.
Hollywood. What about Hollywood?
Not what it was.
Damn it, but you're hard to please too. Still, there must be something great in store for you. The U.S. Senate. Senator Gareth O'Donnell, chairman of the Foreign Aid Committee. Is there something you would like to say, Senator, before you publish the findings of your committee?
Nothing to say.
Just a few words.
No comment.
Isn't it a fact that suspicion has fallen on Senator Dugan?
Nothing further to add.
Did your investigators not discover that Senator Dugan is the grandfather of 14 unborn illegitimate children? That he sold his daughter to the King of the Fairies for a crock of gold? That a Chinese spy known to the FBI as Screwballs?
Screwballs?
Screwballs.
Describe him.
Tall, blonde, athletic-looking.
Military moustache?
Very handsome. Uses a diamond-studded cigarette holder.
Usually accompanied by a dark, seductive woman in a low-cut evening gown?
Wears a monocle. Fluent command of languages.
But he seldom speaks. A man of few words.
Drives a cream convertible. Villas in Istanbul, Cairo, and Budapest.
Merchant prince. Licensed to deal in tobacco.
Ah, me soul, that's the man. To a T. The point is, what do we do with him?
Sell him to Aaron?
Hide his cascara sagrada.
Shh.
The boys. Is it the boys? To say goodbye?
Shh.
It's Madge. Old fluke feet Madge.
Madge!
Off again. You know what you're doing, don't you, laddie book? Collecting memories and images and impressions that are going to make you bloody miserable. In a way, that's what you want, isn't it?
Bugger.
Bugger's right. Bugger's absolutely correct. Back to the job. Keep occupied. Be methodical. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Catch the baby by the toe. Will all passengers holding immigration visas please come this way?
Passport.
Visa.
Visa.
Vaccination cert.
Vaccination cert.
Currency.
$80.
Sponsorship papers.
Signed by Mr. Conal Sweeney.
Uncle Con and Aunt Lizzie, who made the whole thing possible. Read a letter again. Strictly for belly laughs.
Dear Nephew Gar, just a line to let you know that your Uncle Con and me have finished all the plans.
Uncle Con and I.
And we'll meet you at the airport and welcome you and bring you to our apartment, which you will see is located in a pretty nice locality. And you'll have the spare room, which has TV and air conditioning and window meshes and your own bathroom with a shower.
Adjacent to RC Church, no children, other help kept.
You will begin at the Emperor Hotel on Monday 25th, which is only about 20 minutes away.
Monsieur, madame?
Con says it's a fine place for to work in, and the owner is Mr. Patrick Palinakis, who is half Irish...
Patrick.
...and half Greek.
Palinakis.
His grandfather comes from County Mayo.
Peter Hokey, the Greek from Belmullet.
We know you will like it here and work hard.
Monsieur, madame, monsieur, madame, monsieur, madame?
We remember our short trip to Ireland last September with happy thoughts and look forward to seeing you again. Sorry we missed your father that day. We had Ben Burton in to dinner last evening. He sends his regards.
Right sort, Ben.
Until we see you at the airport, all love, Elise.
Elise? Damn it, Lizzie Gallagher, but you come on in the world.
P.S. About paying back the passage money which you mentioned in your last letter, desist. No one's crying about it.
Aye. Ben Burton was a right skin.
Last September. September the 8th.
By God. Lizzie was in right talking form that day.
You are invited to attend the wedding of Miss Kathleen Dugan, daughter of Senator and Mrs. H. Dugan of Gortmoor House.
Shut up, O'Donnell. You've got to quit this moody dribbling. They arrived in the afternoon, remember? A beautiful, quiet harvest day. The sun shining, not a breath of wind. And you were on your best behavior. And Madge, remember? Madge was as huffy as hell with the carry-on of them. And you couldn't take your eyes off Aunt Lizzie, your mother's sister. So this was your mother's sister. Remember?
Anyhow, there we were, all sitting like stuffed birds in the front seat. Una and Agnes and Rose and Mother and me, you know. And Mother dickied up in her good black shawl and everything. And up at the altar rails, there's Moira all by herself. And her shoulders are sort of working, you know. And you couldn't tell whether she was crying or giggling. Oh, she was a hell of a one for giggling. Maybe she was crying that morning, I don't know.
Get on with the story, honey.
Would you please desist from busting in on me?
Apologies,
but
honey.
Listen to this. This'll kill you. Mother's here, see, and Agnes is here, and I'm here. And Agnes leans across Mother to me, you know, and she says in this hell of a loud voice, she says, this really does kill me. She says, in this whisper of hers, and you know the size of Balsafree Chapel, couldn't swing a cat in that place. That chapel's still there, isn't it? It hasn't fell down or nothing, has it?
Unless it fell down within the last couple of hours, honey. We drove up there this morning, remember?
Oh, yes, so we did. Fine place. Made me feel kind of, you know... What the hell was I talking about?
Agnes leaned over to you
and
said...
Oh, thanks, Ben. A great friend with a great memory. I tell you, Gar, Ben Burton's 100%. The first and best friend we made when we went out. Right, honey?
Right.
Way back in 37.
38.
October 23rd, 1937, we sailed for the United States of America. Nothing in our pockets, no job to go to. And what does Ben do?
A guy in a million.
He gives us this apartment. He gives us dough. He gives us 3 meals a day until Connie here finally gets herself this job. Looks after us like we were his own skin and bone. Right, honey?
Right, every time.
So don't let nobody say nothing against Ben Burton.
No.
Then, when Bonzo here gets this job in this downtown store...
The first job was with the construction
would
company.
Would you please desist?
Apologies, honey.
His first job was with Young and Pecks, hauling out them packing cases and things. And then he moved to the construction company, and then we got a place of our own.
You were telling us about that morning, Aunt Lizzie.
What's he talking about?
The day my father and mother got married.
Ah, that day. Oh, wasn't that something? With the wind howling and the rain slashing about. And Mother, poor Mother, may God be good to her. She thought that just because Myra got this guy with a big store, we should all have got guys with big stores. And poor Myra. We were so alike in every way, Myra and me. But he was good to her. I'll say that for S.B. O'Donnell. Real good to her. Where the hell is he, anyway? Why will my brother-in-law, S.B. O'Donnell, not meet me?
Gar told you. He's away at a wedding.
What wedding?
Some local girl in a Dublin dock.
What local girl? You think I'm a stranger here or something?
What local girl, Gar?
Senator Dugan's daughter.
Kathy.
Never heard of him. Some Johnny jump-up. When do they start having senators about this place, for God's sakes?
You have a senate in Dublin, just like our senate, don't
you? Don't you start telling me nothing about my own country, Ben. You got your own problems to look after. Just you leave me to manage this place, okay?
Sorry, Elise.
Oh, Ben. Only that I'm a good Irish-American Catholic. And believe me, they don't come much better than that. And only that I'm stuck with Rudolph Valentino here. I'd take a chance with Ben Burton any day. Black Lutheran and all that he is.
Are there any clarions to spare, or are they all ordered?
They're all ordered, Marge.
Doing big deals out there, honey, huh?
Thank you, Gareth.
Thank you, Gareth.
Honey, you'll think about what we were discussing, Gar, okay?
I will, Uncle Con.
The job's as good as you'll get, for a start. and we'd be proud to have you.
Don't force him.
I'm not forcing him. I'm only telling
him. Well, now you've told him a dozen times. And he's standing there like he hadn't a tongue in his head. So now desist, will you?
Apologies, honey.
I will think about it, really.
Sure, sure. Typical Irish. He will think about it. And while he's thinking about it, this door falls in around his head. What age are you? 24? 25? What are you waiting for? For S.B. to run away to sea until the weather gets better?
Honey.
I'm talking straight to the kid. He's Myra's boy. I've got an interest in him. The only nephew I have. Am I right or am I wrong, Ben?
I'm still up in Balty Free Chapel.
Where? Give him no more to drink. Ben, you're sitting in the home of S.B. O'Donnell and my deceased sister, Myra.
You were telling us a story about the morning they got married, honey. Up in Balty Free Chapel.
Yeah, I know, I know. You keep busting in on me.
You're about to tell us what Agnes whispered to you.
Poor Agnes. Dead. Myra. Dead. Rose, Una, Mother, Lizzie, dead. All dead and gone.
Honey, you're Lizzie.
So what?
Honey, you're not dead.
Are you gone senile all of a sudden? Ben, give him no more to drink. For God's sakes, who says I'm dead?
You're very much alive, Elise.
Thank you, Ben. Great friend with a great intellect. Only one thing wrong with Ben Burton. He's a black Baptist.
Just for the record, I'm Episcopalian.
Episcopalian, Lutheran, Baptist. What's the difference? As our pastor, Father O'Flaherty, says, my dear brethren, he says, let the whole cartload of them, the whole zoo of them, be to thee as the Pharisee and the publican.
Honey.
But he's still the best friend we have. And we have many good, dear, kind friends back home. Right, honey?
Right.
But when it comes to holding a candle to Ben Burton... Ah, oh, look, comparisons are... But he's not in the halfpenny place with them.
Betting on, Elise.
Am I right or am I wrong?
Honey.
And that's why I say to you, Gar, that America's God's own country. Check, Ben.
Oh, don't ask me. I was born there.
What do you mean, don't ask me? I am asking you. He should come out or he should not. Which is it?
Oh, I just didn't have a place to live, Elise. Ireland, America, what's the difference?
Oh, you tell him, honey. You tell him the setup we have.
Oh, well, we have this...
We have this ground floor apartment, Garcia, and a car that's air-conditioned and color TV, and this big collection of all the Irish records you ever heard, and $15,000 in federal bonds.
Honey.
And a deep freezer, and a backyard with this great big cherry tree, and squirrels, and night owls, and the smell of lavender in the spring, and long summer evenings, and snow at Christmas, and a Christmas tree in the parlor, and
Elise.
And it's all so god-awful, because we have no one to share it with us.
It's okay, honey. It's okay.
He's my sister's boy. The only child of five girls of us.
I'll bring the car around the front.
And we spent a fortune on doctors, didn't we, Connie? But it was no good. And then I says one day, out of the blue, remember? I says, we'll go home to Ireland, I says. And Myra's boy, Gar, we'll offer him everything we have.
No. No.
Everything. And maybe we could coax him, you know. Oh, maybe it was sort of bribery, I don't know. But he would have everything we ever gathered.
Keep it. Keep it.
And all the love we had in us.
No. No.
Honey, we have a long drive back to the hotel.
That was always the kind of us Gallagher girls, wasn't it? Neither laughing or crying. You know, sort of silly and impetuous. Shooting our big mouths off. Talking too much. Not like the O'Donnells. You know, kind of cold.
Don't, man. Don't.
Your gloves, honey. It's been a heavy day.
Tell your father, Gar, that we regret we did not have the opportunity for to make his acquaintance again after all these years.
I want to go to America, if you'll have me.
Laddie.
Sure, you think about it, son. You think about it.
Now, as soon as I can, Aunt Lizzie. I mean it.
Gar? Honey? What's he saying, honey?
Look, son.
To us, Gar. To come to us. To our home.
Ben's waiting outside, Elise.
If you'll have me.
If we'll have him, he says. He says, if we'll have him. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm half shut up. Oh, God, my son. Oh,
not yet. Don't touch me. Yet.
My son. God. God. Oh,
God.
God.
My God. Oh, my God.
September the 8th, the sun shining, not a breath of wind. And that was your mother's sister, remember? And that's how you are got, right, honey? Silly and impetuous like a Gallagher. Regrets?
None.
Uncertainties?
None.
Tiny little niggling reservations?
None.
Her grammar?
Shut up.
But honey, wasn't it something?
Go to hell.
Her vulgarity?
Bugger off.
She'll tuck you into your little air-conditioned cot every night.
Philadelphia, here I come.
And croon, right, sleep well, my little honey child. She got you soft on account of the day it was, didn't she? And because she said you were an O'Donnell, cold-like.
It's now 16 or 17 years since I saw the Queen of France.
But of course, when she threw her arms around you, well, well, well.
And the dopiness at Versailles.
Poor little orphan boy.
Shut up, shut up.
Mama, mama.
Madge!
You don't want to go, Laddie Buck. Admit it. You don't want to go.
Now, what is it?
I can't find my coat, and I left it here in my room.
There.
Where?
In the corner.
I didn't leave it there.
No, it walked by itself. And if you're going out, don't you dare come home drunk.
I'm going to say goodbye to the boys over a few quiet drinks. And how I spend my nights is a matter entirely for myself.
The boys couldn't even come here to say goodbye to you on your last night.
Straight to the bone.
Just you mind your business and I'll mind mine.
How many of them are getting the pension now?
And in case you're in bed when I get back, I want a call at 6:30.
Well, the clock will be set. If you hear it, well and good. S.P. O'Donnell, you sit there, night after night, year after year, reading that old paper, and not a tooth in your head. If you had any decency in you at all, you would keep them plates in while there is a lady in your presence.
Eh?
I mean it. It just drives me mad, the sight of you. And I have that much work to do. Stairs have to be washed down, and the doors to be swept, and your room has to be done out, and well, I'm telling you, I'll be that busy for the next couple of weeks that I won't have time to lift my head.
That's a sore night on all of us. A very sore night.
There's only one way to put the fear of God up, them bastards. The boot every time. You know where, boys, eh?
Who's the rest, Tom?
Jimmy Pat Barney from one morning. Where's the old fella?
Haven't the bloody clue. Probably in the shop. Now relax, man.
The boot or the knees. The only game them gets can play, and we can play it too.
They have a hell of a forward line all the same, Ned.
They'll be on crutches this day week. Begone, I can hardly wait to get the studs planted in wee Bagford Dorn's face.
All the same, Jimmy Pat Barney's the get it put you off very quick.
He won't say a word to me. He knows as much when he meets it.
Just thought I heard somebody whispering. So yes, finally made it.
True to our word, Madge, that's us.
They were on their way here when I ran into them.
Aye, so. Mr. Sweeney too. Gentlemen as ever.
Come on away over here and take some of the starch out of you, Madge Mulhern. How long is it since a fella gripped your knee?
None of your smutty talk here, Mr. Sweeney. And if the boss comes in and finds them bottles...
I'll keep them in order, Marge.
Boys, how are you?
You're jealous because you're past it. That's what's wrong with you.
I'm for off tomorrow, boys.
Aye, so?
Brooklyn, is it?
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia? Oh, that's where Jimmy Crerin went, isn't it?
Philadelphia.
Mind the night Jimmy and us went down to the caves with them Dublin skivvies that was working up at the lodge? Were you... Nah, you weren't with us that night, Gar.
Was I there, Ned?
You mind the size of Jimmy, 5 foot nothing and scared of his shadow?
Best goalie we ever had.
One of the women was Gladys and the other was Emmy or something.
Damn it, I mind now. Gladys and Emmy. That was it. Gladys and Emmy.
Anyhow, the rest of us went in for a swim.
In the bloody belt.
And your man Jimmy was left in the cave with the women. And what the hell did they do but rip the trousers off?
No, I wasn't there that night.
And the next thing we see is wee Jimmy coming shouting across the white strand and the two Dublin cows hearing after him.
Not a stab on him.
And him squealing at the top of his voice, "Save me, boy, save me, save me."
Never drew breath till he reached home.
God, that was the night. Ah, you missed that night, Gar.
Save me, boys, save me.
I don't think we went to bed at all that night.
You may be sure we didn't.
Careful.
We were all there that night, Ned. And the girls' names were Gladys and Susan. And they sat on the rocks, down on their feet in the water. And we sat in the cave, peeping out at them. And then Jimmy Crairn suggested that we go in for a swim. And we all ran to the far end of the shore, and we splashed about like schoolboys. Then we came back to the cave and wrestled with one another and pretended we didn't see the girls. Then out of sheer boredom, Tom, you suggest that we take the trousers off Crairn, just to prove how manly we all were. And when Ned started towards Jimmy, 5 foot nothing, you remember? We Jimmy squared up and defied not only the brave Ned, but the whole lot of us. So we straggled back home, one behind the other, and left the girls dangling their feet in the water. And that was that night.
If the ground's not too hard, you'll win the match on Sunday.
Well, hard or soft, I have a couple of old scores to settle on the field.
You'll never get another half-back as good as the one you're losing.
Do you know what I'm thinking? We'd better see about transport.
Damn it, you're right. I'll get the outfielder's van easy enough. Can you get your Charlie's lorry?
Just maybe. He's at the turf these days. I'd better try him tonight.
What about a song from Garboys before he goes?
What time is it?
It's early in the night yet.
9:20.
We'd better move then. Charlie was talking about going to a dance in Ardmore.
Damn it, that's an idea.
We'll all go. A big send-off for Gar.
Ardmore, are you mad? Bloody women in that place don't know what they're there for.
True for you. Screen their heads off if you laid a hand on them.
Tell you what, call on home first to see Charlie and then go on to the hotel for a dirty big booze up.
I don't like drinking in Dawn Place.
Those two English bits, what's their name?
Them strangers? Oh, you wouldn't have a chance there. They do nothing but walk and look at weeds and stuff.
Who wouldn't have a chance?
I know, Ned. But them two, they're sort of stiff-looking, like they worked in a post office or something.
They're women, aren't they?
Ah, damn it, we might. Still, I don't know. They knit a lot. What do you think?
I vote we stay here.
£10 to a shilling, I click with one or other of them.
I won't be here to collect my earnings.
Come on, any takers, I've never clapped eyes on them, and I'm offering £10 to a shilling.
Cripes! I know that look in his eyes.
Wise bloody men, the blood's up, lads. Off to the front, any volunteers for a big booze up on a couple of women?
Did he say women? Sign me on.
I don't think I'm in form the night, boys.
Suit yourself. We'll show them a weed or two, Tommy.
Out in the sandbanks. Get them in the bloody band.
We're away. Wait. How much money have you?
2 and 6, 2 and 11, 3 and 3, 3 and 15.
And I've 6 and 2, that'll have to do. Say prayer, they're fast and thrifty.
30 hour brute. Yeah. Either way, bull.
I'm telling you, the blood's up.
Are you coming, lads?
Well, not me. I'm getting up at 6:30.
So long, Gar. You know the old rule. If you can't be good,
send us a pack of them playing cards. The one with the dirty pictures on the back.
And if the women are as easy out there, we might think of joining you, right, Tom Olcock?
Bull on regardless.
By the way, Gar, since I'll not see you again before you go...
Hey, leave your belt alone. At least wait till you're sure of the women.
Shut up. Funny them Yankee scuts try to beat you up some dark night, Gar. You can't... Here, catch. You know, there's a bloody big buckle on the thing. Many a bugger I scotched with it.
Safe enough, lads. He's wearing the braces as well.
I meant to buy you something, but the old fella didn't sell the calf last Friday. Stupid bastard. Such a bloody stupid bastard of an old fella.
Thanks.
Damn it. I have nothing for you, Gar.
Are we for the sandbanks or are we not?
You'll make out all right over there.
I know the look in his eyes.
Ice, Tom. If there's one debt I hate, it's you.
Ooh, the blood's up. Oh, by God. When he goes on like that, the blood's up. Hold on, hold on.
What the hell are you sitting here for?
Damn it, Gar. Like, it's your last night with the boys and all. I thought...
Get the hell and run after them.
So you know yourself. You'll hang about the gable of the hotel and chat. And do nothing.
For God's sake, man, those English women would be swept off their feet.
You're taking a hand at me now.
Away you go, Joe. You're missing the chance of a lifetime.
Maybe, eh? What do you think?
Go on, go on.
God, maybe you're right. You never know what'll happen, eh? You finish that drink for me. God, maybe we'll click the night. Say a wee prayer we do. Cripes, my blood's up too. Where's me cap? You'll send us a card, Gar, sometimes, eh?
Surely, Joe.
Lucky bloody man. Wish I was you.
There's nothing stopping you, is there?
Only that the mother planted sycamore trees last year and she says I can't go till they're tall enough to shelter the house.
You're stuck for another couple of days, then. Away off with you, man.
Good luck, Gar. Good luck. And tell Madge, for the next time she asks us up for tea, we bloody well better get it.
She asked you?
That's why I was joking her about us keeping our word. As if we wanted tea, for God's sake. They better catch up with the Sturk before they do damage. So long, Alcock.
Madge. Oh, God.
They're louts. Ignorant bloody louts. Well, you know it. And you know what they'll do tonight, don't you? They'll get the caps well down over the left eye and the hands deep in the pockets, and they'll shuffle about the gable of the hotel and take an odd furtive peep into the lounge of those English women that won't even look up from their frigid knitting. Many a time you did it yourself, Bucko. Aye. And but for Aunt Lizzie and the grace of God, you'd be there tonight too, watching the lights go out over the village and hearing the front doors being bolted and seeing the blinds being raised and you stamping your feet to keep the numbness from spreading. Not wanting to go home. Not yet for another while. Wanting to hold on to the night. Although nothing can happen now. Nothing at all. Joe. And Tom. And Big Tick Generous Ned. No one will ever know or understand the fun there was. For there was fun. And there was laughing. Foolish, silly fun. And foolish, silly laughing. What was all about you? You can't remember, can you? Just the memory of it. That's all you have now. Just the memory. And even now, even so soon, it's been distilled of all its coarseness. And what's left is going to be precious. Precious gold.
Gar?
Kathy?
Cripes.
I hear you're off to America.
First thing in the morning.
You wouldn't think of saying goodbye to your friends, I suppose.
I was going to, but they...
Careful.
It went clean out of my mind. You know how it is, packing and everything.
I understand, Gar.
She's a married woman, you bugger.
Philadelphia.
Yes.
To your aunt, isn't it?
That's right. Sister of my mother's.
And you're going to work in an hotel.
You know as much about it as I do.
Oh, you know, Ballybeg, small town.
I'll probably go to night school, you know, at night.
Brilliant.
Do law or medicine or something.
Like hell. First art stumped you.
You'll do well, Gar. Make lots of money. Come back in 20 years' time and buy up the whole village.
Very likely. That's my plan, anyhow.
Kate.
How's your father and mother?
Fine, thanks. And Mr. O'Donnell?
Oh, grand. Is Dr. King well?
I hear no complaints.
Since I saw the Queen of France, then the Dauphiness at Versailles, Surely I never lighted on this orb, but she hardly seemed to touch a more delightful vision. I saw her just above the horizon, decorating and cheering the elevated sphere. She'd just begun to
move. I'll come back when I make my first million, driving a Cadillac and smoking cigars and taking movie films.
I hope you're very happy and that life will be good to you.
I'll make sure life's good to me from now on.
Your father will miss you.
Ah, that's his lookout. You know something? If I had another week in Ballybeg, I'd go off my bloody head. This place would drive anybody crazy. Look around you, for God's sake. Look at Master Boy. Look at my father. Look at the cannon. Look at the boys. Asylum cases, the whole bloody lot of them. Listen, if someone were to come along to me tonight and say, Ballybeg's yours, lock, stock and barrel, it wouldn't make that much difference to me. If you're not happy and content in the place, then you're not happy and content in a place. It's as simple as that. And I've stuck around this hole far too long. I'm telling you, it's a bloody quagmire, a backwater, a dead end. And everybody in it goes crazy sooner or later. Everybody.
Shh.
There's nothing you can tell me about Ballybeg that I don't know already. I hate the place and every stone and every rock and every piece of heather around it. Hate it, hate it. And the sooner that plane whips me away, the better I like it.
It isn't as bad as that, Gar.
You're stuck here. What else can you say?
That's enough.
And you'll die here. But I'm not stuck. I'm free. Free as the bloody wind.
All I meant
answerable was that to nobody. All this bloody yap about father and son and all this sentimental rubbish about homeland and birthplace. Yap. Bloody yap. Impermanence. Anonymity. That's what I'm looking for. A vast, restless place that doesn't give a damn about the past. The hell with Ballybeg. That's what I say.
Oh, man.
I'd better go. I've got to pick up Francis at the clubhouse.
I tell him I was asking for him.
Goodbye, Gar.
Enjoy yourself, Kate. And if you can't be good, you know, be sure to call the first one after me.
Sweet Katie Dugan. My darling Kathy Dugan. Oh, God.
Steady, ma. Steady. It is now 16 or 17 years since I saw the Queen of France, then the Dauphiness at Versailles, and surely never lighted on this orb. Oh, God. Oh, my God. Those thoughts are sinful. As beautiful Kitty one morning was dripping with pitcher of milk.
You go now, right away, and tell them. Mommy and Daddy, they're at home tonight. No, Gar, no. It must be no. Remember, it's up to you. Entirely up to you.
They're all weighed. The fish all cured.
This one not. At least so she says.
Oh, my God.
That is something to remind you of our teacher.
God, the rope's up. Meant to buy you something.
Don't look back.
Don't look back.
Look at your man, Gar. Wish I was you.
I can see your ass in a pot of jars.
7 boys and 7 girls, and our daughters will all be gentle and frail and silly
again. I suppose you'll be looking for your pay.
I can't wait till Christmas. I'll burst. I'll bloody well burst.
Goodbye, Gar. It isn't as bad as that.
Kate.
Goodbye, Gar. It isn't as bad as that.
Kathy.
Screwballs! Say something! Say something, Father!